I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? Hello and welcome to another edition of Marlena. After all these weeks, you're still here and so am I. We'll be with you for, as the little promo says, about the next 60 minutes. And I'm going to jump right into the program tonight and bring in my guest, Mr. Hap Holly. Good evening, Hap.
Good evening, Marlena.
And how are you?
Well, you know, I'm not too bad for an old guy.
Well, and you are an old guy.
Well, I'm not.
If you guys looked at the promo announcements that I have sent out, one on Friday and one earlier today, I think you'll agree with me that Hap is a pretty fascinating guy. I first came to know of Hap through my interest in amateur radio, and we're going to talk about the radio amateur radio. Yeah, you say it.
Radio. I'll try to.
Yeah.
Radio Amateur Information Network, otherwise known as RAIN.
Otherwise known as RAIN. But I was fascinated with some of the things that I learned about you in the little bio that you sent me. But before we get started with all of that, let me give out the phone number. It's 1-866-666-7926. And we would love to have you call and talk about radio amateurs. And maybe you're someone who's always been interested in ham radio and haven't quite known how to pursue that. But Hap has a whole other side to him that is kind of cool and interesting. You are the child of two blind parents, right?
That's correct.
And they met because they were pen pals?
Yes, actually, this is true. They both met through a mutual great acquaintance. And we're talking about, I think, about 1940. 41, thereabouts.
Way before the internet.
Oh, way before.
Yeah, yeah. So so they met through a mutual acquaintance, and they corresponded with each other, and then they later married, and you were one of their offspring.
One of four, and the last one.
And you're the only one with a visual problem.
That's true, before or since.
Well, if you're the last one, it certainly would be since.
Well, I mean, but I'm pumped. And no one else in the family since.
Yeah. Huh. So, interesting. Now, and another interesting thing that I read about you that I didn't know is that there was a book written about your family. Is that right?
Yes, in 1988. And it was a book called What Love Sees, and that was written by a high school English teacher in San Diego, about 30 miles from where my folks lived at the time. I was already back here in Chicago, having grown up in Escondido, California, not far from San Diego, until I went off to college in 1970. So in 84, my sister met the author at a conference in San Diego, and the author, who had never written a book before, just a number of articles for chambers of commerce and tourism departments and so forth, thought my sister's story was kind of interesting. But my sister said, "Oh, no, you don't want to write a book about me. You want to write one about my folks." So 4 years later, 1988, a paperback of 490 pages in length, published by a Canadian company called Paperjacks, was released, but went out of print just a year later after selling 14, 15,000 copies. But fortunately, the book rights were owned by Susan Freeland's New York agent, so we didn't lose the book. However, during that year, at one point, the paperback got into the hands of a Hollywood producer named David Rosemont. And David has produced a number of Hallmark movies. He read the book, really enjoyed it, but was in the middle of other projects, so put the book on the shelf. Again, we're talking about somewhere around 88, 89. In 1995, I think it was, he reread the book and decided this time he wanted to do something with it. So he looked around trying to find a network to fund the movie, to buy the movie. He talked to ABC, CBS, NBC, Hallmark. None of them were willing to take it on. Because your average made-for-TV movie is around $2 million, so it's a pretty, it's an important decision to make. Now, no one took on the movie until sometime later in 1995 when a good friend of David Rosemont, Richard Thomas, who so many people remember as John Boyd.
Sure. Good night, Elizabeth.
he decided to... play my father's role in the movie. And suddenly CBS about a week later said, okay, we're in. You see, they were all looking for a name to really peddle the movie. And I understand that. Just interesting sideline that Amy Grant had actually expressed some interest in playing my mom's role in the movie.
Now, is your mom musical? Was she musical?
No. But Amy Grant had never been in a movie, let alone play the part of a blind person. So either she or CBS said, maybe not. But instead, Annabeth Gish, no relation to Lillian for some of the more senior listeners, Annabeth Gish played my mom, and Annabeth has been in some of the movies like Mystic Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was a babysitter in that movie. Coupe de Ville and Desert Bloom, and even not long ago I saw her in some miniseries on, I don't know, some cable channel. So she's still around and leaving her mark.
Now, how was that for you? I mean, did you or your parents get to have very much input into sort of the direction of the movie?
I did not, but my mom was to a degree, but because the book really was quite accurate, they had a lot to work with, and photo albums, of course, to get an idea of what we looked like and what some of the buildings and vehicles looked like back in the 40s, 50s, and so forth. And the movie actually ends in 1959 when I'm age 8. And I have lost my sight a few months by that point, and it was decided that I couldn't get the right education in the little town of Ramona, California, where I grew up in the mountains northeast of San Diego. So we moved to a larger town, and that's really where the movie ends. So it ends where it could have been a sequel. In fact, it leaves you hanging like, okay, fine, now what? No epilogue.
Yeah.
But a sequel script was written, but it was not acted upon by CBS. And according to my sister, whose judgment I value very highly, she read the script and it really, she said, didn't measure up, which is so often the case for sequels.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad to hear that the movie actually paralleled the book, because frequently that doesn't happen either.
Sure.
So, okay, well, this segues beautifully into learning now a bit more about Hap Holly. Hap Holly the musician, Hap Holly the radio amateur operator. But let's start out with Hap Holly, the little kid, who at 8 years old, he has lost his sight. You moved from what sounds like a pretty small, quiet mountain city town into a much larger sort of moving, happening kind of place so that you could get a better education.
It had taxi and cabs. It had sidewalks.
Yeah, sidewalks and indoor plumbing, I bet.
Well, at least we had that.
let me give out the phone number one more time, 1-866-666-7926. And just a wee bit of housekeeping before we go too much further. If you are hearing this program at any other time other than 1 to 2 Universal on Monday, 8 to 9 Eastern, and 5 to 6 Pacific, it is a rebroadcast, and the number will take you to my fax machine, which is surely an exciting place to go. So we start out, well, let's grab a call here. Let's push all these buttons and bring the caller into the room. Hello, caller. With whom are we speaking, and from where are you calling?
Good evening or good morning, Marlena. This is Frank Casey in Albany, New York.
Well, good evening or good morning to you, Frank, and Kathy.
Oh, yes. Kathy's doing better. She's improving.
Good, good.
Well, I'm glad that you've got Hap on here tonight, because I am an amateur radio operator. And as you know, I'm blind, and I never knew that the person who did the rain report or made, you know, organized it was blind, as many times as I've heard it.
You see, the things you learn on my program.
Yes.
Well, why don't you go ahead and chat with Hap and meet him?
Well, Hap, my name is Frank Casey, and my call sign is W2JIO. You may remember that as being licensed to Bob Gunderson, who was my radio teacher at the New York Institute for the Education of the Blind.
Oh, very fine. Very nice to meet you. I recognize the name of Bob Gunderson. I never knew him, but I had heard that he was, well, he made his mark in amateur radio doing that.
But I never knew that you were the person who was doing the rain report was visually impaired. And I've got my wife, Kathy, N2SQY, on the line here, too.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
Fine. Nice to meet you, ma'am.
Nice to meet you. And, yeah, I've been a ham for about 11 years or so.
Well, terrific. And, well, and ham radio, of course, we'll get in this perhaps if time permits later. Ham radio is a terrific hobby service, a level playing field for folks with disabilities, and just a lot of fun.
Well, you know,
a question I do have is, your movie available for home video, do you know?
This is weird. It's interesting you ask that, right? Because it is available, yes and no. Yes, it's available as a DVD. However, only in the European PAL format, which is not compatible with your typical NTSC DVD format.
So, in other words, we couldn't play it on our regular VCRs.
Not on a VCR. You mean on a DVD?
No, I meant on a VCR.
No,
it's not.
The
it's
DVD.
Never. It was never available as a video.
Okay.
It's only available as a PAL format in DVD. Which means unless you have a DVD player that will play what are called Region 3 DVDs, I'm not aware that it plays particularly well on American DVD players. But the irony is, it's available in Europe, and if you go on eBay, almost any week, you'll find it being auctioned from one or two sources in England as a DVD. And it typically only goes for like $5 or $6, $7 because nobody's familiar with the movie.
That's wild.
But just a regular DVD wouldn't be able to be played on one of our American machines.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, go figure.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was ever aired in Europe, and yet it was here, CBS twice, 96 and I think 97, and then Lifetime ran it literally three times a year, I think, in something like 99, 2000, and 2001. It was just amazing how much it got run here, and yet you can't buy it to play it here.
Well, we can certainly hear the Rain Report, and that's a great current contribution right here in this country. And
well, thank you.
I really want to congratulate you for the great job you're doing.
You're very kind. I appreciate that. I don't get much feedback. It's interesting. I often think of myself as operating in a semi-vacuum, and occasionally I'll get a note, either good or bad, and it's nice to get a note of some sort. So, and especially nice to hear it verbally, so I appreciate it.
I think a lot of us, unfortunately, as wrong as it may be, we take the things that are so available to us for granted, and it's wrong. And people should congratulate you more than they do, because it's a very important part of the amateur radio community.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, unless Kathy has anything else to say, I'm going to let some other people take the floor here.
No, you do a good job, having. I do listen to it, and you do a good job, and I never realized, you know, you never put two and two together that, oh, my God, I said, we hear him all the time, and now here we get to talk to you in person.
Thanks, well, to Marlena.
I'm glad that you guys were able to do that, and we are going to move into talking about the Rain Report and how people can hear it in just a few minutes.
Okay, we'll chat with you later.
All right, you guys, have a great week. That's Frank and Kathy up in Albany. Regular callers they are. So, okay, back to Hap Holly, the little kid. You're 8 years old. You've lost your sight. You've moved. What the heck was going on in your little psyche at that point?
Well, it's hard to say. It was a long time ago.
I know. It was at least a century.
Well, at least, well, almost half a century anyway. Oh, my gosh. Well, interestingly, in third grade, so that would have been 1961. Out of the blue, I received a Braille book from the Braille Institute of America, which was, I guess, still the major provider of materials for folks with they're either blind or visually disabled in Southern California. And the book was called Make Radio Your Hobby, written by a guy who's, I'm sure, long gone by now, Fred. I don't know if it was Steining or how it might have been pronounced, S-T-I-E-I-N-G, I think. But nevertheless, a ham operator, I believe, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And, of course, I had really no inkling about what ham radio or amateur radio, same thing, was. And this book really didn't talk so much about ham radio as much as showing you how to non-visually build a crystal radio.
Oh, I would love to see that book.
It was, believe it or not, I still have it.
You do?
I have very few books, but that's what I always kept for obvious reasons.
Wow.
But it had the little raised lines, drawings of how to put it all together. Anyway, that got me started in being fascinated by the whole idea and concept of radio waves traveling through the air from an antenna somewhere to my little crystal radio that was using the screen in my bedroom as the antenna. And, of course, as I read more into the book, there was more talk about ham radio. Now, keep in mind, this was early 1960 or 61, something like that. The book was written, I think, in the late 40s, so it was by no means current, per se. But it didn't matter, because the spark had been lit. And I started doing weird things. Maybe we shouldn't talk about this. I started doing weird things when I was real little, like I would have a transistor. Remember, we always used to have a little transistor, silver-toned Sears radios, and there were some other brand names, who knows what they were. And I would take it and put it up to a light switch, or maybe up to the mast outside my folks' house that had the antenna for the TV on top of it. And, of course, it would pick up all kinds of stuff, that overloaded the radio. They weren't really, the signals weren't really on the frequency I was listening to. The radio only covered the broadcast band up to, which of course only went up to 1600 in those days. But the radio actually went up another, oh, maybe in about 1700, 1800 in those days. And I remember listening to the L.A. Police Department somewhere above 1700 kilohertz AM.
Boy, and you thought you had captured the world.
Oh, I thought, hey, this is really the nuts. So that's where it got started. And let's try to shorten this up a little bit. In fifth grade, I took a class, my language arts class, which was a class that we were taught, had all kinds of different projects in. And the teacher was named William Weir, W-E-I-R. I suspect he's gone by now, unfortunately. But he was not a ham, but one of the projects we had to do was to learn Morse code. And so sometime in fifth grade, I learned Morse code, picked it up very readily, as kids do, because it was, you know, a secret kind of language, you know, kind of fun. And it wasn't until ninth grade that I actually got my first, my basic, in those days, the novice ham radio license, which only lasted a year. You had to upgrade from there. But
and back then, as I recall, the testing, a blind person really still had to be able to describe how you built your circuits, and you still had to be able to describe the sine wave and those kinds of things, which today I'm not sure is exactly the case.
The FCC will actually, well, today, there are certain questions in the question pools that are actually deleted from the pool of questions a blind person would need to answer.
Yeah.
Because in the diagrams, they're tough to explain, and they're that sort of thing.
But that was not the case for you.
I don't remember that much, to be honest. Well, first of all, the novice license had very little diagrams in the darn thing anyway. It was 35 questions, I think, and was pretty darn basic. In those days, unless you could persuade the FCC otherwise, you actually had to go to the FCC office
to take
your test. I was 35 miles away. I was in high school at the time. It would have been a hardship, so they found the volunteer to give me the exam locally. But I got real heavily involved in amateur radio by being net control, which is kind of like a master of ceremony for a big party of people. And this was a party of people that were on the radio on one frequency, who were there specifically to handle messages or to make what are called phone patches, where you can talk to somebody on the radio, over the radio to someone on the telephone. Pretty arcane by today's standards with voice over IP technology.
Yeah, yeah. So you actually got your license when you were about in the ninth grade, and then as you proceeded, obviously, from novice up to general, and I don't know what class you are.
Advanced. I got my advanced in 81, and that's where I stopped.
Ah, okay, okay. What brought you to the RAIN report? And before you answer that, for people who don't know, what is the RAIN report?
Do you want to give out the phone number first?
Sure. You go for it. It's your show.
Oh, it's your phone number.
Oh, my phone number.
Yeah, well, your phone number.
Oh, dear. It's your show. The phone number is 1-866-666-7926. And we will be with you up until the top of the hour, which is about another 34 minutes to go. So what is the RAIN report?
The RAIN report is a weekly, what I call a weekly audio ham radio feature magazine. It comprises maybe 10, 15 minutes, generally at the most, and it is an audio program that is directed to ham radio operators and amateur radio or ham radio enthusiasts. But it is very much does target the amateur radio service of the United States. Of course, though, on the Internet, you can hear it worldwide, of course, at www.rainreport.com. And it features an interview that I or someone else may have conducted with the movers and shakers in amateur radio and some of the non-movers and shakers in amateur radio. And also features excerpts from seminars or forums held each May in Dayton, Ohio, at the largest ham radio gathering in the country called the Dayton Hamvention, which draws anywhere from 20 to 25,000 people. At that hamvention, there are four forum rooms that run all day Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning with nonstop seminars or forums. And each year I work out an arrangement with the audio contractor to hook up the old reliable and low-tech GE5194 cassette recorders, the four-track jobs, at half speed, but using chrome cassettes, which are much better at that speed than your normal, as I call high-noise, low-output cassettes for those days. And I still use that rather basic but very reliable technology every year. So I use my own machine. I borrow two from a good friend of mine, Steve Parker, who's also a ham, KCNIKU, a blind fella who is one of the VPs at the Northern Trust Bank in Chicago. Nice guy. And I borrow one from one of your listeners, or at least one of ACB's listeners, Shirley Roberts.
Oh, of course. I know Shirley well.
Shirley.
Of course.
LX in Dayton, Ohio. So I have four machines running all weekend long, so I bring home copious amounts of audio from the hamvention. And as I go through the year, I'll excerpt from various presentations there. In fact, the one that's on there right now as we speak, and rain updates usually Saturday or Sunday, is from the last Dayton Hamvention interview with a guy named Bob Heil. And Bob is near St. Louis, and he's known for his quality microphone.
Yes, I have one.
Business, and gosh, he's had an amazing story of all the rock groups and acts that he's dealt with and for years, providing audio and microphones and other special effects boxes. It's really quite fascinating. Anyway, it's a 10-minute talk by Bob Heil about amateur radio's enormous influence on his life.
And people can go to rainreport.org to hear this.
No, it's .com.
Oh, .com.
Yeah, it's a commercial website.
Rainreport.com.
And I don't care whether you have dial-up or if you have broadband access, you can listen to it because we have an available low bit rate real audio. Excuse me, and the low bit rate Windows Media, so it can be played literally. I don't care how slow your connection is, you'll be able to listen to it. But also for we who are fortunate enough to have some sort of broadband, DSL in my case, there is a broadband Windows Media 32K, or 32 kilobit stream. But it is streaming, it's true stream, it's real streaming, and not HTTP streaming, which only allows for one or two listeners. We actually have enough bandwidth to allow for, literally 10, 20 listeners at a time.
The telephone number, again, is 1-866-666-7926, and it's about 31 and a half past the hour. So what gave you, how did you come to Rain Report? How did Hap Holly meet Rain Report?
In the early 1980s, I started to listen to a program out of L.A. that is aired on various ham radio frequencies around the country, locally and so forth, called, in those days, Westlink Radio. Today it's called the Amateur Radio Newsline. And Bill Pasternak, its producer, is one of my mentors, actually. And it was and is about a 15 or 20 minute weekly ham radio news service. And I started listening to that in the early 80s, and I just couldn't get enough. I had an insatiable, had and have an insatiable appetite for information. I listen to talk radio all the time. I love listening to music radio as well, but I usually, it's funny, out in the car, out in the van, I listen to music, but here around the radio room, or to go to sleep to, or in a shower to, I'll listen to talk radio.
You know, I think that is so true among many of us who are blind. I really do. I think, I certainly know that a good many of my personal friends, and myself included, could be described exactly as you've just described your listening habits. You're out in the car, you know, yeah, that's music, but when you're working around on projects, and certainly to go to sleep by, it's got to be talk.
Isn't that strange? I don't understand why. You would think, well, to me, music distracts me too much.
Keeps me awake.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I do a show sometime with somebody and maybe a site will analyze that.
Yeah. But, oh, I've got some interesting corollaries about blind folks and various other things, but that's for another day. So, anyway.
Well, that was the early 80s, and then by 1984, I thought, you know what? I would like to do something like that, but rather than just Newsline, which was news of national interest, I would like to do more local stuff. So I started to put together each week on a local ham radio repeater. A repeater is like a party line where a lot of people can tune in. And well, it's just like a radio frequency that because the transmitter is up on a tower somewhere or up on a tall building, the transmission can be heard for 150 miles, depending upon where you are. But so I started to produce that every week, and it was live, but I would have taped drop-ins from wherever. And then I would start taking reports from people on an answering machine. And eventually, I think by about 86 or 87, again, I started this in 84, so I was, 33 at that time. In 84. In 86, I started to actually script it. I would actually write a script on the VersaBraille. I used the old VersaBraille.
Oh, boy, that does go back.
And so I would record the script, and then I would put it all together on a cassette. It was a 45-minute program each week. Well, that went on into the 90s, but as it went on, it became more and more national. It kind of became more of national interest for me than just local. So I kind of grew out of the local niche and got more national. Never international so much, but just national. And I think it was in 90, it became available as a dial-up, by the way, in the late 80s. And it still is, actually, for the technologically challenged at 847 827 RAIN. 847-827-RAIN. You figure out the numbers.
And I'm gonna let you finish your thought and then bring a caller in.
Okay. And by 96, I think we were actually dabbling with internet audio. It was sure pretty crummy in those days. And in 2000, I took a computer class in Chicago, funded by the Department of Inhumane Services. Oh, pardon me. Department of Human Services here in Chicago, and learned how to use computers. And one of my goals I achieved from that in 2002, and that was to produce the program entirely on the computer in the digital domain, which is what I do today.
All right, let's bring the caller into the room. Hello, caller. With whom are we speaking? And I think they hung up.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Who are we speaking with?
Well, hi, this is Joy.
That's Rose, her is Eve Woods.
Hang on.
Let's see, we got
too many people on here.
Too many conversations going on here.
Okay, this is Joy, and I have, I have somebody who remembers Hap from years ago.
Oh.
Well, if it's the same Hap Holly that I remember from Camp Bloomfield, this is quite a surprise.
Oh, hey, help me out. Camp Bloomfield would have been 1967 or 68 when I was in high school.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Hap Holly, this is your life.
Yes.
Well, my name is Eve. My last name was Woods.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Woods. Evie Woods.
Mm-hmm. And you had this wonderful accordion. Oh, my God. This man is awesome.
I know. We haven't even gotten to his musicianship yet.
This man inspired me. Actually, he was partially responsible for my getting out of my classical comfort zone and going into jazz and pop.
Oh, really? Well, how cool.
So.
That's wonderful.
Thank you, Hap.
So what do you play?
I have a thanks to give, too, when you guys are done.
I just got a new keyboard myself, and the odd thing about it is I studied classical for years, but I wanted to kind of change my focus and go into another point of origin. And for years I was blocked. I couldn't, I could hear the stuff in my head, but it was like...
She couldn't play it.
Couldn't play it.
Wow.
And then I got another keyboard, and it was really strange. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, things just started happening. And I was remembering... At Bloomfield, when you played that accordion that you had, and I think didn't you have to hook it up to an amplifier?
Oh yeah, it was an electronic accordion, which is why I enjoyed playing it, because the accordion itself was okay, but it was the electronics that made it sound like a big Hammond organ.
Oh, it was wonderful.
That is why. Well, you should drop
and
me.
It just used to amaze the heck out of me, and that was part of. So you were part of my inspiration for getting
wonderful.
Out of that
comfort zone. Well, that's wonderful. You're very kind to say that. Let me give out my email, and I hope you'll drop me a note. I'd like to hear a little bit about what you're doing. My email is very easy. It's hap@rainreport.com. Rain like the wet stuff, report like report card, rainreport.com.
Uh-huh.
And Eve, used to call you Evie in those days, as I recall. In the middle 80s, I began to wean myself from accordion back to piano. I say back to because I started on classical piano when I was 8 years old, formally.
Uh-huh.
And at age 14, I got tired of classical piano, tired of classical music, tired of Braille music, which I started to read at age 12.
Just got tired.
Yeah, I just got tired, that's right.
Yeah.
And I went over to accordion. And the first tune I learned was Hello, Dolly. So I started to learn that genre, quite different from classical. And I really enjoyed it. And, of course, rock and roll, too. Then in the middle 80s, I started to wean myself from accordion back to keyboard because electronic accordions were, and very much still are, muy expensive for the technology you get because they don't manufacture nearly as many of them as keyboards. It's kind of like technology for the blind. It's wonderful to have, but because it's not mass-produced, it's so much more expensive. And that's another issue for another day.
That is amazing. But you inspired me. You were part of my... George Shearing started it, and you kind of finished it. So.
That's high company there, Hap.
Very, very kind. Well, yeah. By 89, I had weaned myself entirely back to piano, and today I play two-handed keyboard. I have an Alesis, an old QS6.1, which is a five-year-old keyboard already, but very, very much enjoy what I can get out of it. And gosh, you talk about cost. It was a $1,200 keyboard. And of course, when you consider technology, 5 years ago, today you get that technology for probably $600 or $700.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for calling, you guys.
Oh, well,
hey, Marlena.
You're welcome.
Yes.
When Joy said Hap Holly, I'm thinking, wait a minute, is this the same person I knew like a million years ago or
something?
Whoa.
Yeah, somebody told me to mention that they don't have internet access, so I figured I'd now bring it
up. Right now. Marlena.
Yes.
This is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
I got some good news for you, and I got a big thanks to send to Mary.
Okay.
That tape that Joy made for me when I would get disheartened was probably one of the most helpful things I had.
Oh, you mean from the Time for Folks program?
Yep.
When I was in the hospital.
Oh, great. Well, that means a lot to me, Jim. I'm glad that was helpful.
It was part of what kept me going when I felt like I wanted to quit.
Well, you never quit. You keep on keeping on.
I got rid of that damn wheelchair. Pardon my language.
Great.
I went through the walker real quick. I'm back. I'm on a cane, and I'm getting to a point now where I'm back on my feet.
Well, you know what? You'll have to tune into my new time slot. Now I'm on Mondays, from 3 to 5 Pacific.
Yeah, and, Monday.
Yeah, Monday. That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And,
and
before we go,
what you'll do is have to hook me up on the phone, and we'll listen that way. All
right.
Come over Monday night one night.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, you're
Marlena?
Very welcome.
Yes.
It was nice talking to you again.
I thought we were having a party here.
Nice talking to all of you guys.
Okay.
I'm back from the dead, so to speak.
All right, well, you guys all take really great care, and I'll look for you
okay.
on Monday. Okay,
okay.
Bye-bye.
So long, guys.
Oh, my goodness, that was confusing.
Well, they were having a party, weren't they?
I know, and they invited us. Wasn't that nice?
All right, nice.
1-866-666-7926. You can join the party for another 17 minutes or thereabouts, slightly shorter than that, perhaps. But before we conclude, I am going to ask you to give out the dial-up number, again, for the Rain Report, because not everyone is internet comfortable, etc. So we'll make sure that we get you to do that. So we're sort of talking about how the Rain Report evolved, and what do you see in its future?
Oh, I think just continuing to do what I do. I really enjoy it. You would think after, well, technically 20 years of doing informational programming, then it would get old. But, you know, I enjoy piecing the puzzle together. I'll take the forum talk or the raw interview that I or someone else has done, edit it down, get rid of all the real major ums and ahs and pauses and you know. Well, that's a real challenge.
Yes,
but,
I know.
But because of my 25 years involved in Toastmasters, I have really learned to listen better. There's always room for improvement, but I don't get every and every ah, which surprises me even today, where I listen to a program I might have produced a month ago and I think, gee, there's an obvious faux pas there. I should have gotten rid of that. But because of the computer being digital and using SoundForge, editing is so easy.
Yes, it's
so
wonderful.
I'll clean that up and make it into something that flows well and sounds good. And if I'm interviewing someone, I will edit me out as much as possible so you hear the person being interviewed and not me. And then I'll write some sort of an intro, add a little break in the middle, and write a tag. And I'll do that in Word, Microsoft Word, of course, on my little old Pentium 3 500 megahertz box of rocks I've had 5 years already. Gosh, amazing. And I'll then send that to one of a handful of volunteer readers, let's see, one of which is visually impaired, a guy named Blair Alper, K-A-9-S-E-Q, who's a character. But he's a ham operator, and he literally has to almost put his nose up to a screen to read it, but he does very, very well.
And
but these folks will then record the script, send it back to me as an MP3 file, and then I will convert it back to WAVE and tack it on the beginning and the middle and the end of the interview and package it up and encode it and then send it up to the audio server where my web guy who donates his time and the server and the website at no charge to me, he'll then take those files and rename them and then everybody can hear them at rainreport.com.
Lots of steps. We have another caller. Hello,
okay.
Caller. With whom are we speaking, and from where are you calling?
Hello, Marlena. It's Kelly Saperja from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Ah, another good amateur radio guy.
Yep.
V5KJS.
Hello, Kelly. I've heard your name many times.
Oh, well, it's great to talk to you there, Hap. I actually was listening to the Rain Report today. It was one of the first links on your site, and I thought that the interview there was pretty good.
Oh, you mean, yeah, okay. It didn't update until early this evening, so you heard an interview, which is still, I think, available as last week's interview with Blair Alper, one of my readers that I was just talking about.
Yep. And I thought it sounded really good.
It was fun. It was fun indeed. Kelly, what do you, you're a ham operator. What do you do for fun, and what do you do to keep the bill collectors away?
Well, I'm in addition to working as on the amateur radio there, I'm also a music composer, actually.
Are you? Are you published at all?
Not really. I mean, I don't have any CDs out or anything like that, but I do, I have a business, if I can, if it's okay with Marlena.
Sure, go for it.
Plug my company here. Yeah, KJS Productions is the name of my business, and I do a lot of, you know, do various jingles and voice IDs and stuff like that for internet radio stations and stuff like that, and also music for computer games and various things like that, basically.
Good, good for you. I, I'm likewise an unpublished songwriter. I've written probably a couple dozen, and I used to have a four-track old Tascam Porta Studio cassette deck. Well, I still actually do. In fact, I'm going through it now, but it's pretty old and not real workable anymore, but I recorded some four-track stuff, and I still have some of that, and enjoy being creative, but I really haven't made a business of it. I am a keyboard musician, and therefore I do play gigs out. Especially, just a tip to any other musicians around the country, the rehab, nursing, assistive living facilities are really now starting to pay pretty decent. I'll book an hour in these places, and it pays anywhere from $85 to $100 for an hour. Well, hey, it sure beats playing a Moose Lodge for 3 hours for $100. So that's just a little tip for those who are in any urban areas. And gosh, you know, there are nursing homes and assistive living facilities and rehab centers all over anymore. Gosh, it's, well, it's a growing industry, of course.
Well, yeah, we're all getting older.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm just kidding.
Well, Kelly, did you have any other questions for Hap?
Yeah, actually, well, just I had a comment, actually, about that there. I also actually started out with a multi-track tape machine. Mine was a Fostex, actually.
Oh, sure.
The Fostex X26, and I still have some of the old tapes I used to make with that. And,
Are you using Cakewalk today or something like that on your computer?
Yep, Sonar, actually, from Cakewalk. Okay,
I haven't gone that route. I just have been a little hesitant to tackle that learning curve. I understand it's pretty steep with those multi-track software programs.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat little program there, and then when you add all these software synths and things that are available on the net, you know, for free or whatever, that really is a lot of fun.
That's a pretty pricey program, too, as I recall.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth it, I must admit.
Yeah.
I've been using mine for a couple of years, and it's very good.
Well,
sorry about that. I was going to say, my question, Hap, is some. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this or not, but a few years ago I was reading a magazine from the CNIB, the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, where they publish a list of their books and stuff, and they had a section in there about magazines. And one thing that I saw in there was an item about the Rain Journal, it was called.
Right, which no longer exists. That was where I would take some of the best of Rain and put it on cassette for those who didn't have internet access. You know, this was back in the middle late 90s, and so, and even early 2000s here. And I just dropped that because I only had maybe 8 or 10 subscribers.
Sure, it's a lot of time.
It's got to be more trouble than it was worth.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, I'm gonna let you get on here just in case anyone else wants to call in. We've only got about 7 minutes left.
Okay. And that was great to talk to you there.
Yeah, nice talk to you, and thanks for taking the time to call.
Thank you so much for calling, Mr. Superja.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. 1-866-666-7926. If you call very quickly, soon after you hear that telephone number, and we do have a caller. Hello, you are with Hap and Marlena. With whom are we speaking, and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Lois, Marlena.
Hey, Lois, from California.
Yes, how are you today?
Great.
You're sounding great.
Meet Hap Holly.
Yes, Hap, hello, this is Lois.
Hello, Lois.
Hi. I listen to Rain off and on. I have been a ham since 1976. I'm not presently active. That doesn't mean I won't be again. But I had a couple of interesting question and an observation. was the accordion electronic thing you're talking about, was that the old Cordovox?
It was indeed.
Yeah. Lois, you know everything.
No, I don't know everything, but just interesting. I'll try to do this quickly. I know we're coming to the end of the hour. I went to college in Kansas City, Missouri, and I grew up playing the accordion, and I wanted to be a classical concert artist. And I actually got a degree in classical concert accordion music.
Oh, wow.
I never knew there was such a thing.
Well, I don't even know if there still is. I got out of the field because I found it very difficult to make a decent living doing the sort of thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I got out of it. But something that I found, and you came along a little later than I did, Hap, but I learned music, and I was always interested in electronics, and it took me a while to get to it and get into it the way I wanted. But I found in the study of the electronic theory you had to do for amateur radio, and I have an extra class license, between music, math, and the electronics I learned, they all together taught me a tremendous lot about how things work, about earth sciences, astro science, physical. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Well, I understand. I hear what you're saying, but I guess I've never experienced it because I was never good in math.
No, I did. I loved algebra. I thought that I didn't like, when I was a little kid, I had trouble in my early school years, and I got hung up on long division, and we had a teacher that made us do long division until we thought we'd vomited. but it was good for me. And by the time later, when we hit algebra, I fell in love with it, and at that time, my big passion was music. I went to a school for the blind, and I couldn't get my hands on ham radio yet. That was to come later. But the thing was, when it gave you some blurb trying to inspire you to learn it, because so many didn't want to, it said that it aided in music and electronics. And I thought, wow, I guess I got to learn this stuff. So I've always liked math. In fact, I've taken some correspondence course and learned more of it on my own.
Well, Lois, I'm going to let you go in case we can grab one more call and let Hap kind of think about that for a second and give whatever response he'd like to.
Of course, just an observation, and good to hear you, Hap.
All right, and we will talk soon.
Bye-bye, Lois.
Bye-bye. 1-866-666-7926. If you call right away, we'll be able to get you in. Hap, one of the places, and I will let you kind of think about Lois's observation here and give it your thought, but one of the places I was hoping we would go and we sort of didn't have time, so we may bring you back on again at some point. It'd be time number 3 for you. But third time's a charm, as they say. Would love to spend some time talking about the technology of amateur radio. One of the things that many of us who are hams know is that as some of these darn things get smaller and smaller and smaller, they become more and more and more inaccessible. And
a great exception to that is the Kenwood THF6A handheld.
You betcha.
That's the best most blind friendly
You
programmable
betcha.
Handheld I've ever played with. In the 40 years I've been a ham operator.
You betcha. That is a wonderful radio.
And thanks to Shirley. And I'd like Shirley Roberts for giving me the idea to buy that.
Yeah, she gave me the idea, too. I don't know, is she working for Kenwood? She gets some on the side here?
They ought to pay her a little commission there.
So did you have any thoughts about Lois's...
No, not really. It's interesting. I really don't have any comments, but before I forget and before we run out of time, I'd like to give my email out again in case there's anybody that'd like to drop me a line, especially from... Maybe from the old Camp Bloomfield days. I was there for 2 summers.
Yes, and after you give out your email, I want you to give out the dial-up number for people to hear the rain.
Okay, here we go. My email address is HAP, that's H-A-P, just one, not two, one P, HAP at rain, R-A-I-N, report, R-E-P-O-R-T, rain report, one word, .com. And the web address is very simple. It's just www.rainreport.com. And the dial-up is for the Rain Report, 847-827-RAIN. That's 847-827-RAIN. And in case anybody's interested, I've been happily married for 28 years to a sighted gal I met at a summer camp where I was a counselor and she's a camper. There's a story for you, and you'll have to do it.
Yeah. You've got a lot of visits coming up on my show. Hap Holly, I so appreciate you joining me again. You were one of my first guests on Blind Spot, and now you've come back to Marlena.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
And we will be in touch for more of Hap Holly.
Thanks a lot. It's been wonderful being on your show. Monday? I have Monday mouth on Sunday.
Be careful. People will think you're in my shower. We don't want that. That would not be good.
Definitely wouldn't like that either.
That would not be good. Okay. I am Marlena. Thank you so much for joining me. And come back next week at the same time on ACB Radio Mainstream. Join me on Monday if you can from 3 to 5 Pacific, and that's 6 to 8 Eastern, and would love to have you help me out with my new show called Monday. In the meantime, have a great week. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you next week.